on the line. I have Annabelle from Miss June, fronted by Auckland-born and now Nam-based songwriter Annabelle. Miss June are known for their reckless punk energy that's backed by a razor-sharp rhythm section and 90s guitar grit. Having been handpicked to open stadium arena shows for the likes of My Chemical Romance and Foo Fighters, they've earned widespread critical acclaim and been recognised as one of Aotearoa's premier alternative exports. Having recently released the explosive new track Liar, Annabelle joins me on the program now to chat all about it. Welcome, how are you doing?
Atamaria, I am good, thanks. It's very early here in Melbourne.
Yeah, about 6 a.m. did you say?
Yeah, 6:40.
I know, that's punishment.
we're putting in the miles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if the fans take away anything, it should be like, you have to go listen to the song. Annabelle woke up. I imagine a really annoying alarm went off.
Yeah, there were double alarms going as well.
Oh God,
to get up for work.
Do you like?
But nah, it's good to be here.
Did you wake up earlier and go like, I should probably have like a coffee before I talk on air, or are you just straight?
The kettle is currently going, and I'm debating whether like making a coffee while doing the interview is a bad idea. I'm thinking it is, so I'm just gonna
up to you. I mean, we've never had it before. It could create some good like little background ASMR, little spoon swirling away.
The possibility of going to sleep after this though is extremely high right now.
Yeah, that's a good one. You've never heard of those what do people call them, like the caffeine naps, where they'll have a coffee and then quickly have a nap, so when they wake up it's like when the coffee has hit peak energy.
True. I've never heard of that.
I don't think it's good.
That's a hot strategy.
I learned it from students, so I can't imagine it's healthy.
Radio, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, jumping into talking about the track, according to my email sources, this track, Liar, is a visceral middle finger to the world's deceivers. Who are the deceivers that you're flipping off in question on this single?
Oh my gosh. That's heavy. I love that someone wrote that to you in an email. I wrote the song actually in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny. So I wrote it in 2020 about an ex-boyfriend, but you can kind of, I guess, adopt it to anyone that's just lying about you. And yeah, to be transparent, I feel like there's a lot of liars in the world, and certainly a lot of people that have lied on my name. So I was like, fuck it, release the hounds. Oh, sorry, I probably can't say the F word on radio. I was like, release the hounds, release the song.
Yeah,
let's just do it.
Do you find when you play it live, does it have a kind of cathartic energy, or does it still, or has that kind of worn off now?
It's always cathartic when Miss June plays live. It's like, it's the best catharsis there is. But we've only ever played this song once live, and the BPM of the like recorded version of the track is fast, and Tom, when he drums, always plays everything twice as fast. So I just remember the only time we played it live, the song was like a minute and a half, and yeah, it was hectic.
When making like post-punk and punk music, how is the song born? Is it always born out of a kind of frustration or an injustice? Do you have like a whiteboard where you write down everything that's pissing you off?
I not so much a whiteboard, but I write a lot of like lyrics, and I have like books, notebooks, and notes app on the phone. And also like I do a lot of like voice recordings.
Sweet. And I'm seeing kind of across at least the New Zealand music industry, and I'm guessing it's spreading over to Oz too, a real trend with younger artists, especially here in the South Island, where there's a real anger in music. You know, like you guys have been playing this genre for a hot minute now, but the younger people, it seems to be faster, angrier, grittier, a lot more influence from the 90s. Are you kind of seeing that trend as well?
A little bit. I'm seeing a lot of great like pop artists come out of New Zealand, but actually now that I think about it, even some of the pop artists, like I'm thinking about like Who Shot Scott, I guess he's more like rap. It is a bit more gritty. I feel like New Zealand's always been like that though. You know, we kind of like carry a badge of being an underdog when you're from New Zealand. But to your point, I guess, of young people using music as a tool to, like, for catharsis, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a comment on that a lot of young people feel disenfranchised.
Totally.
And annoyed at, like, the circumstance and kind of, like, the world that we've been left with big corpo fucking... Oh, sorry, I'm saying the F-bomb again. But, like...
It's a hard topic to talk about and not swear.
Yeah, sort of disenfranchising us all. But, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe my hot take on that, but, you know.
And working in NAM compared to coming out of Tāmaki and New Zealand as a whole, what are the kind of major differences you find? Is there influences that you have over there now that you might not have been able to access in New Zealand?
Kind of. New Zealand's always had, like, a good relationship with Australia. Like, our music scenes are quite intersected. And one of the things that I think Mistune's done throughout our time as a band is, like, we've played with a lot of Australian bands. So I've always sort of had a community here. But it's nice to be, like, on the ground and be able to, like, fully, like, submerge myself in that a bit more here.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Track is called Lie. This is a bit of a sillier one. What is the weirdest white lie you've ever told?
Gosh, that's a good question. I'm a pretty bad liar.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head what would be the best white lie I've ever told. Maybe when my mum calls me and she's like, did you just wake up? And I'm like, no, I've been awake for hours. And she calls me at, like, 11 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably that.
That's a good one. I'll take that. That's, it's for the comfort. Your mum's not worrying about you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And the studio process for this one, the production process, was it different to music you've released before?
No. So we did this album with Tom Healy at The Lab. Mm-hmm. The Lab is a studio based in Mount Eden in Tāmaki Makaurau. So all of our stuff has been, all of our latest stuff has been recorded with Tom Healy, including this song, and then we got it mastered with a different person. We actually got it mastered at Abbey Road, which has been cool.
Yeah. Wow, amazing. Did you go into Abbey Road, or is it just you just send it off into the world and it comes back to you?
Yeah, you just send it off into the world and it comes back to you.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's always the way with you have these people who are like, and we got it, like, mixed by this person or mastered by this person. And they're like, but, internet. So, which is its own tool in itself, I guess.
Yeah, I think that relationship came from Tom Healy had worked with Elijah before at Abbey Road. And so we managed to, like, get in contact with him through Tom Healy, which is great.
And the single's being released ahead of your next album, Play Fight, that'll drop later this year, which will include a tour of Aotearoa as well as Aussie. How will this album differ to 2019's Bad Luck Party?
Well, it's a good question. When we did Bad Luck Party, we did that record through a major label and also pretty major, like, backing support through touring agents and PR and talent agents and things. So when we did Bad Luck Party, I guess we had, like, a lot of people on the team, like 10, 20 different people on the team. This time our team is a lot smaller. So I think the album's going to have a very different feel because of that. At the same time, though, I don't know what's going to happen from now until the album gets released.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to feel a little bit more like when we were touring and releasing our first EP, because we did that with, well, that was just, like, completely independent. But yeah, so I think it'll be a bit different. I also think, like, the landscape of touring has completely changed.
Oh, totally.
We did Bad Luck Party in 2019,
Yeah.
And we toured that record for years, and we did like 2-3 world tours with that. And honestly, some of the touring that we did on that record, like, I don't even know if it exists anymore. Like, the way we toured that album, I don't even know if it's like possible anymore financially, and also like with the political climate in some of these countries, yeah. It can be a lot harder to like actually get into these places. So
yeah,
we'll see. Time will tell. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite different.
Do you also feel a different sort of pressure on touring, especially with how music promotion has changed, and now it's the game of the charts and everything? It's a completely different thing. Do you think that there is more pressure to have a successful tour, because that's a way that a lot of artists make the biggest chunk of their money now?
Yeah, I think honestly, even in 2019, touring was like the main way that you connected with fans and made money. Like I said, we haven't done a tour in a while, so I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like now, but certainly the way you promote these things has changed a lot. Like, when we did our last album, TikTok literally didn't exist.
Yeah.
And the current algorithm that we're living in didn't exist either. So yeah. Even navigating that promotionally with the singles has been quite different.
Yeah. Has it been at all kind of frustrating?
Yes. Yeah, it has been. Everything is paywalled now, which is very interesting. So it used to be that like the fan pays the artist to hear the music, and now it's like the artist pays the corporation to show the fan the music, and then the fan pays the corporation to listen to the music. Like the big music corporations, like, they have cracked it.
Yeah,
like, they've honestly
they really have.
They're taking the money from both ends, and that's been like really confronting, because I've never really been someone that's been like, I'm gonna sponsor this post or whatever.
Yeah,
I've never really done that before, but it seems now, and like, you know, what I've been told and seen is that like you kind of have to.
Yeah,
like things are honestly paywalled, and I've seen it with like the biggest artists in the world as well, like the amount of budget that's going into just letting people know that they're even releasing something is crazy.
And you think, like, when you see a huge artist, I don't know, making a TikTok, even if it's not like a sitting down in front of the camera with an acoustic guitar kind of TikTok, you go like, does this person doesn't want to do this, and this person should be big enough that they don't have to do like this, you know, like.
Totally.
The entire teams that must exist now going like, okay, and we're like putting this aesthetic together for you. And if you could just stand there and do this thing and we'll film it and don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah. No, exactly. And then there's also all this like conversation around like PSYOP marketing, which is so true. I actually, like, out of interest, because I mean, there was that huge conversation recently about the band Geese, and whether their popularity was organic or whether it was a PSYOP. And so I like looked into it, and I looked into that company that they supposedly use called like Chaotic Good. And like basically what these companies do is they create like bot fan accounts to make like memes and edits and reels about a band, and so that the actual fans, when they see it, are like, oh, I'm gonna make my own fan page. So it's like the fans are still there, the people are still there, it's just like reaching them is far more difficult to cut through the noise. And I looked at this company, Chaotic Good. I was like, how much would it be theoretically for a single? And it's like $18,000.
Wow.
To like get them on board on a single. So I think, like, whereas major labels used to maybe do a bit more like artist development, like you said, like, oh, we've thought of this aesthetic, we've thought of this or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really think they're doing that. Like, I think they're just putting the budget straight into these like PSYOP marketing companies.
It's all just about cutting corners and.
Yeah. And like trying to game the algorithm, but it all comes with like a huge expense.
Oh,
which
totally.
Is sad, man. It's sad. Like, I've had friends about like other artists be like, oh, so-and-so's releasing an album, and I'm like, no, that album came out already. Like, even some of the biggest artists in the world, you know, are struggling to like actually connect with people.
Yeah, and then going like, oh yeah, my album didn't do well because not because I didn't, you know, put thousands of dollars towards promotion for it, or I didn't try and game the algorithm. I just tried to release something, and it's like, you can't all be Taylor Swift where you drop something and millions of people go and listen to it straight away, you know?
Yeah, totally, dude. Like, it's pretty dystopian. And like Meta and TikTok must just be creaming it with cash right now of people trying to like be heard.
All very topics at the top of my mind, topics at the top of our listeners' mind, topics at the top of your fans' minds, I imagine. But like you said, cathartic energy exists in Miss June's catalogue.
Well, I guess my motto is like, I'm just going to just do it anyway. And like, even if it is the case, if we release the album and it like flops or whatever, it's like, I just want the music to be out there. And once it's out there, like, no one can take that away from you.
Exactly.
But yeah, my it's funny, even my feed, like my personal feed since releasing music, like I'm scrolling through and it's like, your album didn't flop. You just haven't figured out your subliminal artist narrative. Like, my feed is all messed up. Like, people trying to like tell me how to go viral, and I'm like, oh my god, stop. Like, the it's like psychological warfare.
Yeah, because they're also gaming the algorithm.
Leave me alone. Yeah, literally, it's like sponsored posts trying to tell you like, sign up to my program on how to go viral, and it's like, I'm not like, I don't want this. Like, stop showing me this and stop like, oh my god, it's been hectic, bro.
Oh, well, thanks so much for joining me on the program, Annabelle. I hope that was its own kind of catharsis, waking up at 6 a.m. to have a little bit of a rant about that.
yeah, it's on my mind, that's for sure. But yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for bringing me in for an interview. It's great to chat with you guys.
Yeah, it's been lovely to chat. We're going to hear the single now. You can find it out there. I always thoroughly encourage people to go to Bandcamp and get your hands on that one. Pay a couple dollars towards that track. Here it is, Miss June with Liar. Thanks so much, Annabelle. Ka kite.
Ka kite, Anna.
r1.co.nz/podcast